men. I appreciate that. If you are a man and would love to sing with them, anytime they have a practice time for the men, join them. You can get right in there and sing to the Lord and enjoy yourself. If you're visiting with us for the first time this morning, thank you so much for being with us. We're thrilled that you have chosen Lock Haven Baptist Church to come and worship this morning. If you're a returning visitor, thank you for your confidence in us, and we're glad that you're here. So we pray that you'll enjoy yourself as well today. We have many that are sick today. Brother Jim only mentioned a few, but we have probably about 12 or more that are sick today. So y'all pray for them, and may you get some rest, strengthen yourself, take you some honey, some vitamin B, some orange juice, vitamin C and E, push-ups, sit-ups, 3-mile runs, whatever it takes, and get yourselves better so that you don't spread your joy around to the rest of us. So we're glad that you are here, and if you are feeling a little weather under the weather, we pray that you'll get better. If you have family members that are home and sick, we pray that they will get to feeling better as well. And don't forget, the men's retreat is coming right up. There is a sign-up sheet. Tomorrow we will be sending a final check to them to cover that. If you have not registered for the men's retreat, that's April 7th and the 8th down in Tampa. Please sign up today so we can get a good count. Send them the registration fund so that they will know how many from Lock Haven is coming. I believe 11 is signed up already. So if you're able to go, that's April 7th and the 8th. We'd love to have you come down. We'll be leaving the church probably about 11:30, headed down that away. And if you can't leave at that time or would like to come later, that is okay too. The services doesn't start, I believe, until 7 o'clock. We just go a little bit early, have a meal together on the way down, and get checked in the hotel, and then we go over to the meeting. So if you can't leave about 11:30, that is fine. Don't check out and say, well, I'm not going at all. You can go down, just go on your own and meet us down at the either the hotel or at the meeting, and we'll get you the information you need, whichever way that is. That is April 7th and 8th, men's retreat. And then my wife has had the privilege of being asked to speak at a ladies' conference here locally in Orlando. And so if you would like to go to that one, it's on a Saturday. You can go all day. It's just driving up. Please see my wife. That would be at Eastland. It actually is Friday and Saturday, but if you can only make Saturday, that's fine. But it's local. If you ladies would like to go to that, you can talk to my wife. And she'll get you the information to that one as well. That's up at Eastland Baptist Church there on Lake Underhill. What's the dates? I don't know. March 31st and April 1st. April Fool's Day. So if you would like to go to that, ladies, make yourself available as that as well. All right. Let's go to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter number 22. Today, we're going to talk about Peter. Peter. This morning, the Apostle Peter. Luke chapter 22. And we'll read verses 31 and 32, and then we'll skip down to verse 54. Luke 22, verse 31. And 32, and then we'll skip down to verse 54 and finish out reading there, down to verse 62. Peter. Luke 22, 31, the Bible says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Verse 54, same chapter, verse 54. "Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." Verse 58. And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of an hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew, verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. I believe we would be able to understand ourselves better when we get done with this study and studying Peter and his path. Peter went from a path of denial to delivery and delivering of the Word of God. And we can understand ourselves, and we can identify, I believe, personally, I can identify with Peter's failures in this chapter as I look back in my life and look back in things that I've been in my path, and as I've been in situations where I could have stood and said, "Yes, I am 100% with Christ." But there's been times that I kind of just sit in silence. You know, you can never get traction standing on the fence. There is no halfway in, halfway out. We can never get any balance in our life if we're standing up on that fence of life. And one day we're denying Christ, and the other day we are declaring Christ, and the next moment we're denying Christ, and we're declaring Christ. And so as we study through this here little portion of Scripture, I believe that we'll be able to understand better why this happens, and we'll be able to understand why we can have success in our Christian walk. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Now listen, there were some coming difficult times in the disciples' lives from this portion of passage of Scripture. There were some very difficult times ahead, and Jesus had told them of His coming sufferings that would be in the very near future. Look back at verse 15, if you would, verse 15, and He said unto them, "With a desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you." But He says this, "Before I suffer." So there's this coming times, these difficult times, and Jesus was there letting them know that there would be some difficult times. Now, there were some immediate difficulties that were fixing to take place. Of course, this He's talking about scribes and Pharisees and the high priests and the elders coming and taking Him and leading off to trial and eventually leading Him to the cross of Calvary. But even before that, there were some more immediate difficult hour and difficult times at hand. Look at verse number 21 in this chapter and listen to what it says. "But behold, the hand of him that betrayed me is with me on the table." This is a difficult time. Now, for 3.5 years, the Lord has been doing His earthly ministry. He called out the 12 apostles, and He put them around Him, and He began to spend time with them day in, day out, day in, day out. From the very moment he chose Judas Iscariot, the Lord understood that there would come a day that Judas would be the one that betrayed him. This wasn't a secret. Listen, when Judas showed up in Gethsemane and he kissed the Lord on the cheek, that was not new knowledge to the Lord. That was not something like, oh wow, here's the one. When he called Judas out, as he had called the other 11, as he called Judas out, he knew Judas would be the one that betrayed him. When he called Peter out, he knew Peter would deny him 3 times. He knew it. When he called upon your life and he convicted you of who you were and where you were headed to a devil's hell because you knew not Christ as your personal Savior, and he allowed the convicting power of the Holy Ghost to come upon you and the gospel to be shared with you, he understood there would be times in your life that you'd be just like Peter. That you'd be just like Judas. And you would deny him. And you would betray him. And yet he saved you anyway. And yet he called you into his family anyway. There's some difficult times ahead. The one that's going to betray me, his hand is on the table with me. Can you imagine with me as all that had a hand on the table begin to pull them off at that moment? I can see it. There in the upper room as they're preparing to learn about the Lord's Supper, and Jesus says, the one that will betray, and the hands begin to pull away. Oh, I'm sure it's not me. I'm sure it's got to be Bartholomew. It's not me. And John's looking around, the one that the Lord loved. And of course, Peter's looking around. And then, verse 31, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Do you imagine the other 11 at that moment said, this is the one. This is the one that's going to betray him. Of course he did. He denied that he'd even know him. He denied that he'd even had been with him. But he wasn't the one that would betray him. But you understand the situation. The one that's with me. And then Jesus said, Satan's desired to sift thee. He's not whispering in Peter's ear. He's talking out loud and he's spending time conversing with him. In verse 32 he said, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. He had told Peter that there'd be an attack upon Satan, and from Satan, an attack upon him. Let me ask you, tell you something, dear friend. Satan desires to have each and every one of us. This is not just something that Peter went through alone. This is not unique to Peter by himself. Peter is not standing upon a pedestal and he's the only one that Satan has desired to take and to sift and to destroy and to conquer. Because listen, once you know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, the Holy Ghost of God lives in you and you're saved to the uttermost from everlasting to everlasting. You're the child of God. He can no longer have your soul, but he can sure rob you of a testimony. What change took place in Peter's life? If you know the whole story of Peter's life, and a lot of times we emphasize the betrayal and the denying and the 3 times, and we emphasize the cock crowing, and it's an emphasis that we put upon the life. But if you know the story of Peter, he went from a denying disciple to a very dynamic Christian that on the day of Pentecost he preached, and the Bible says that over 3,000 came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. When you mess up, dear friend, when you fall and you falter and you deny and you betray and you fall off into a backslidden state, dear friend, God is not done with you. He's still working on you and he's willing to use you even after you've fallen and faltered and betrayed and denied. All it takes is a repentant heart. As we read through the verses 54 through 62, the Bible says, "And Peter went out and wept bitterly." Satan had a desire. God tried to warn him. Jesus Christ is God. He said he wants to sift you. He wants to destroy you. "But I have prayed for thee." And as Jesus prayed for Peter, he prays for you and I. Look in John chapter number 17, if you would. John chapter 17, in verse number 20. John 17 and 20, the Bible says there, in John 17, 20, "Neither pray I for these alone." He's talking about the 12, the apostles. "Neither I pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Jesus has prayed for you. He understands that your life, if left unprotected and unguarded and unsheltered by the power of God, when we stray away from God, he understands that Satan's there to sift you. He understands that Satan's there to destroy you. And even in this prayer in John chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus has prayed for you even up to this moment. If you have believed. And not only up to this moment, he is that prayer. There is no statute of limitations on the prayers of the saints, or the prayer of God, or the prayer or this prayer. He is praying for you tomorrow. He's praying for you next week. He's praying for you next year. He's praying for you 10 years down the road. How do you know that? Go to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter number 7. He knows our frame. He knows that we are but dust. He knows that we are weak and our flesh is weak, but he understands that through him and through him alone there is victory. Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 25. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. The Bible says in Hebrews 7, 25, "Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him." Listen to what it says. "Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." For who? To them that's believed. To them that's come to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. "He ever liveth to make intercession for you and for I." He understood Peter was going to fall. He understood Peter was going to deny him. He understood all that. He understands that you are not perfect. He understands that you are not sinless. He understands that you are weak as you walk in the flesh and you walk day by day. He understands that at any moment, at any opportunity, there lies opportunity for any believer to deny Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. He understands that. But he still prays for you. He still intercedes. He's still there. He's still allowing the Holy Spirit of God to work in and through us and to help us to overcome and to be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Man, I can imagine this. Peter lost this battle with temptation to deny the Lord. Do you understand the conversation? That day in the upper room, Jesus said to Peter, "Satan desires to sift you." That night, Peter followed afar off. That's what the scripture says in Luke. He followed afar off. That night, after conversing with God Himself, Jesus Christ, that night, with the warning that Satan wants to destroy you, he wants to sift you, that night, three times, not once, not twice, three times, he denied the Savior. That same night. It wasn't a week later. It wasn't 2 weeks later. It wasn't 3 weeks later. So dear friend, may I ask you this question personally. If you only read the Word of God when you come to the house of God, And God only speaks to you when you read the portion of Scripture that Pastor asked you to turn. How weak is your flesh? How often will you deny Him? How often will you forsake Him? How far will you follow afar off from Him? If you do not speak with Jesus daily, man, Peter walked with Him. He talked with Him. Peter walked on the water with Him. Peter saw the lame get up and carry their bed, the leper cleansed. Peter spoke with Him face to face and was warned by Him vocally. And he denied Him. Not once. Three times. Preacher's always talking about reading the Bible. Preacher's always telling me that we need to spend time in Scripture. Preacher's always telling me that I have to have my personal time, my prayer closet. Why? Because the devil desires to sift you as wheat. And if we see and understand in Peter's life, after spending time with Him, after having his feet washed, Brother David, by the hands of the Creator, after breaking bread at the Lord's Supper that day, after remembering that this bread is my body and this cup is my blood and this is what I'm going to do for you, that same day, dear friend, he denied Him three times. You think we don't need Jesus in our life? Dear friend, I'm telling you, we have an anemic Christianity. We are weak in the flesh because we spend no time with our Savior. And we use Scripture, we use Bible as a crutch to offend the Holy One of God. We take Scripture, we twist it, and we say, well, I'm just a sinner, so therefore I'm going to sin. No, we sin because we don't spend time with Jesus, my friend. We sin and we spend time in this world and the cares of this world and the things of this world, and we're following after this world, and we wonder why we're far off, because we don't draw nigh. He says, if I draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to me. We are using Scripture and twisting Bible to get away with living a selfish, sinful, lustful, carnal life. If we can only understand how weak we really are through Peter, but how powerful we can be through Peter. When was he at his best for Jesus? Study the days before the day of Pentecost. 40 days away from the things and cares of the world. Prayer in one accord and spending time with God's people and the things of God and waiting upon the power of God. And then, and only then, was he a clean vessel that he stood up and proclaimed Jesus. And lives were changed. You know why our friends are being changed? You know why our family members are not being converted? You know why those at our work are not being changed and converted and not being drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because we're spending more time in this world than we are drawn away from the cares of this world and spending time with Jesus and letting our light so shine that they may see our good works and glorify God which is in heaven. Oh, Peter. Was prayed for personally by Jesus. But we have no excuse. He's prayed for us personally. By name. He's called your name, Brother Ray. He's called your name, Brother Jim.
He says, my sheep know my voice, and I know them, and I call them by name.
How do you know, preacher? Because there was a poor beggar who couldn't have bought 2 pieces of bread and put air between them. And he said his name was Lazarus. And when he died, they carried him to heaven. And there was a rich man who fared sumptuously. And Jesus said there was a certain man. And in hell, he lifted his eyes. There's a false teaching, dear friend, just because you was born somewhere that you're a child of God. The only time you become a child of God is when you're born again. Not just simply because I'm an American. I'm in a Christian nation. I spent a whole lot of time in an academy and never walked out of there a third out of six. Some of you understand what I'm saying. I spent a whole lot of times inside Publix and never walked out of a baked ham. It's not where you spend time. It's about who's done drawed you nigh to them and moved in and lives inside of you because you realize you was a hellbound on your way to the devil's hell sinner. And Jesus Christ redeemed and atoned you. And you're born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 60 of Luke chapter 22. Excuse me this morning if I'm a little bit excited about being saved. I'm sorry. I got thinking about this, and now I was thinking to myself, I pumped myself up, Brother David. I pumped myself up, and I said, man, I never do that. Jesus ain't never washed my feet. Never. But he told Peter something else in that passage, if you get it. It's not just your feet, Peter. You must be washed. And the blood of Jesus has washed me and made me whole. Luke chapter 22. Verse 60. Preacher, why are you so excited? Because my NCAA bracket got busted. Wisconsin blew Villanova up yesterday, dear friend. But I'm still alive. My name's still written down in the blood, in the book of life. It didn't change a thing about my standing in Christ Jesus. He still says, Son. And I can still say, Abba, Father. You know why? Because it's all of God, and God's worked a miracle in our life. Luke 22, verse 60. Luke 22, verse 60. This is what it says. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crowed. The very precise time of the cock's crowing is when Peter failed. The time of this rooster's crowing had been prophesied by Jesus Christ himself. Peter, the cock isn't going to crow until you deny me 3 times. Now for centuries, roosters have been crowing at their leisure. Have been crowing at their own time. But this day, this rooster never would have crowed until Peter denied him. Why, preacher? Because that's what Jesus said. It wasn't the first time. I got a rooster down there right now. I've tried to get him. I go down there and crow with him. 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He looks at me like I'm crazy. Flies off. I've gone out there at 5 o'clock in the morning in dark. And there he's crowing. I've come back at 2 o'clock on other days, and guess what he's done? He's crowed. That's just what he does. Listen. He rises up early and goes about his God-given task. That's what the rooster does. But he gets up there and he does the work without any praise. You think any of those hens get out there and praise him? Ooh, that was a beautiful crow. Oh, ooh, that just ruffled my feathers. He just does it without any praise. He just simply does it. He awakens the sleepers. I used to have two roosters. And the kids would get so upset because then they'd get in competition. If one did it at 4:30 in the morning, the other one, he's coming right out there. And the other one trying to back and forth. These roosters, they awaken the sleepers. He proclaims good news. Another day that I get to serve the Lord. This is what the rooster does. He never gets bored with the same routine. Every day, Sister Barbara, he just gets up and roosts, crows, every day. But why are we as Christians always looking for something new? Always something else to do. Always looking for another opportunity to get down and do this or do that or do this. Or I'm bored with this. Let me change to this one. This roosters, they just do their God-given duty. You know what our God-given duty is? To proclaim the goodness of God. Why would we get bored with it? This is just a little offshoot because I'm going to get right back to Peter. I just thought about this roosters and what they do and just wanted to say a few words about roosters. They do it without any praise, any encouragement. Listen, if I haven't fed him, he roosts. He crows. If I've gathered up the eggs from the hens, he crows. Why? He's just going to do what God has told him to do. Christians, we're funny. We got to be rubbed, massaged, coddle, pacify. Did I leave anything out? Glorify. Well, I'll do it if the preacher announces my name. If he gives me that title, I'll get involved. God used this particular rooster to bring Peter to repentance. I wonder, dear friend, how many times if we just simply do what God has asked us to do about being faithful, loving the church like Christ loved the church, loving the brethren that shows we pass from death unto life, that we just live an upright, holy, be holy for His holy life. I wonder how many times our life would crow at somebody and bring them to repentance. That just our life for Christ. Oh, preacher, that's impossible. Oh, no, it's not. Look over in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Verse 20. Y'all can sit at ease. I got 5 more minutes before 12. Y'all can look around looking at the clock like it's time to go or something. Just sit easy. Enjoy it. I'm excited, dear friend, about being saved this morning. Galatians 2:20. The Bible says there in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Peter was down. When that rooster crowed, dear friend, the Bible says that Jesus looked at him. When that rooster crowed. Aren't you sure it said that? Oh, yeah, I am. Let's go back and look in Luke 22. Luke 22. I am positive it said that. Luke 22. Verse 61. Verse 60, the cop crew. Verse 61. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord. He looked at it. See, Jesus hadn't forgot that prophecy. It told Peter, Peter. Imagine with me now. He's been spit upon, been chastised, and now they've been plucking at him. They've been making fun of him. He's been in trial falsely. This is just them making up stuff now. This wasn't even legal what they were doing all right now. And in the middle of all that denial, Judas kissed him on the cheek. They've let him off. He hadn't slept. He prayed. Great drops of blood came out of his head and his body there in Gethsemane. In all the goings on that's happening, the cross is down. Wait just a minute. Wasn't it just last week they were saying, crown him, Hosanna, Hosanna? Just last week. Now all of a sudden, dark, tired, mocked, spit upon, made fun of, judged wrongly, outside of even the judicial system of the Jews, he was being tried wrongly. And he paused for a man who had just denied him and looked at him. I can't imagine the hurt. There's been times in my life that I have hurt people that I loved. I mean, I've hurt them. And the look in their eyes, it breaks you. Just the look. Jesus paused and he looked, and Peter remembered the word. Wait a minute. The living word, the written word, in the volume of the book, it's about him, says in Hebrews 7. Hide thy word, my word, my heart, that I might not sin against me. Peter remembered in hell, in torments, Luke 16. The rich man remembered. Look with me, please, quickly, as we go home, hastening to where we're going. Look in Hebrews 4:13. We're going to hasten. We're going to be done. I promise you. We'll be quick and done. You'll be back to your brackets as busted as mine is. Brother Victor said you can even, they give you a second chance in the Sweet 16 tonight, so you can go back and make another one. Bust it. Just bear with me. Hebrews 4:13. Okay. This is right after verse 12. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, dividing of the sunder of the soul and spirit, and joints and marrow, and discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This is talking about the word. Verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Every time, dear friend, every time we choose to go contrary to Scripture, every time we get off in our secret spots and do what we want to do that are not right by God, thinking nobody's there, nobody's around, nobody knows. Every time we disrespect and roll our eyes at our mama and our daddy. Every time we talk back to our teacher. Every time we look in anger at somebody in authority. God, listen, authorities of God, dear friend. Every last one of us are under authority some way. Every time you look at the police officer in anger and mad because he's doing his job. Every time you rebel against authority, every time the eyes of the Lord are open to them to whom He has to do. And I'm telling you, dear friend, just like when Peter, the reason we don't spend more time in the Word of God and spend time in God's Word is because we don't want to remember the Word.
the convicting power of the Word. It digs in our hearts. It's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints, the marrow. It's the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Every time we rebel against God, Jesus doesn't turn His back on you or me. He looks down with those same broken eyes and broken heart and compassion as He did upon Peter. He knew you were going to fail. He knew you were going to rebel. He knew you were going to sin. He knew that you was going to cause heartache and pain to others and countless others. He knew that you would bring shame upon the name of Christ. And yet He still looks. Because He loves you. And He loves Peter. At this moment, He could have left Peter be. He could have said, be done with it. Oh no. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. The piercing. The growing. The powerful look. The denying that ringed into His head. And the love of Christ that drew Peter back and on the day of Pentecost used him. I'm not a good mathematician, dear friends. Sometimes I have a hard time understanding my timetables. I tried the other day to say all 12 of them all the way through. I got hung up on the nines. Now in third grade, I said all of them. My teacher told me, if you say these by this date, every last one of them, I'll take you across to the Star Drive-In. It was kind of like a little walk-in Sonic, a small thing. And we'll buy everybody that says, we'll buy them a cone. They didn't have no little bitty soft ice cream cone. That thing was that tall. Brother Hector, I said all of them in the third grade. Now I'm 47 years old and I'm struggling to get to the nines and I'm having trouble. I'm having trouble. Math is not my high point, is what I'm saying. But I've seen what God's done with this little bit of group around here. I see what He did with 12. He said this. He said that those that have turned the world upside down have come hither. I've seen over the 9 years that I've been here what God has done in our lives as a church. And the only way He's going to continue to do it is in unity and one accord and one spirit. And it's all for God's glory, not for ours. I've seen God bring us from 13 people that voted on me as pastor 9 years ago to what we have here this morning. We have about 12 or 13 that are sick, not here this morning. And it ain't been because the preacher's all that good, I promise you that. Matter of fact, I fail more than I do anything right. It's not because our deacons are holy and righteous and above every deacon in the world. It's because God has been and will always be the center of everything that goes on in Lock Haven Baptist Church. And if His Word's not important, then, friend, we can go play golf and go shoot pool and we can go play piano outside at some club somewhere. But we got to get to the point where we understand this. This is about Jesus and Him alone. And it's bigger than you and I. And if Peter, one man that denied Him three times, could be used to reach 3,000 people and then it multiplied from there. What in the world can God do with us if we just yield ourselves to Him? Stand our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. The pianist is going to come. Word of invitation. Dear friend, you don't need a piano to be played. If you need to do business with God, these altars are open. If you know you've denied the Lord this week already and you hadn't got right with Him, dear friend, I'd be moving down to these altars. I'd be getting things right. If I was lost this morning and all the glory that was given to Jesus for saving people, I'd want to come know more about it. Listen, our church can't save you. We have the Word of God and we can show you from the Word of God how you know you can have eternal life.